ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ऋषभं यावनानं त्वम् व्रीने विरक्षिपितं पतिम् सङ्कल्पस्य त्वयि भूतानम् कृतकील नरिष्यति। Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Approaching the king of the Yavanas, Kalakanya addressed him as a great hero, saying, "My dear sir, you are the best of the untouchables. I am in love with you, and I want you as my husband. I know that no one is baffled if he makes friends with you." Please repeat, approaching the king of the Yavanas. Kalakanya addressed him as a great hero, saying, "My dear sir, you are the best of the untouchables. I am in love with you, and I want you as my husband. I know that no one is baffled if he makes friends with you." Purport, Srila Prabhupada. The word Yavananam, Rishabham, refers to the king of the Yavanas. The Sanskrit words Yavana and Malecha apply to those who do not follow the Vedic principles. According to the Vedic principles, one should rise early in the morning, take bath, chant Hare Krishna, offer Mangal Aarti to the deities, study Vedic literature, take prasad and engage in dressing and decorating the deities. One must also collect money for temple expenditures. Or if one is a householder, he must go to work in accordance with the prescribed duties of a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya or shudra. In this way, one should live a life of spiritual understanding. And this is the Vedic way of civilization. One who does not follow all these rules and regulations is called a Yavana or a Milecha. One should not mistakenly think that these words refer to certain classes of men in other countries. There is no question of limitation according to nationalism. Whether one lives in India or outside of India, he is called a Yavana or Malecha if he does not follow the Vedic principles. One who does not actually follow the hygienic principles prescribed in the Vedic rules and regulations will be subjected to many contagious diseases. Because the students in this Krishna conscious movement are advised to follow the Vedic principles, they naturally become hygienic. If a person is Krishna conscious, he can work like a young man, even if he is 75 or 80 years old. Thus, the daughter of Kala, time, cannot overcome a Vaishnava. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami engaged in writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita when he was very old. Yet, he presented the most wonderful literature about the activities of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami began their spiritual lives at a very old age. That is, after they retired from their occupations and family lives. Yet, they presented many valuable literatures for the advancement of spiritual life. This is confirmed by Srila Srinivasacharya, who praised the Goswamis in this way: "Nana Shastra Vichara Naiku Nipuno Sadharma Samsta Pako Lokanam Hitakarino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanya Karo Radha Krishna Padara Vinda Bhajana Nandena Mataliko Vande Rupa Sanatano Ragujago Sri Jiva Gopalago. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Jai! Thus, jara, the effect of old age, does not harass a devotee. This is because the devotee follows the instructions and the determination of Narada Muni. All devotees are in the disciplic succession stemming from Narada Muni because they worship the deity. Jara is affecting me. What does that say? All devotees are in the disciplic succession stemming from Narada Muni because they worship the deity according to Narada Muni's direction, namely the Narada Pancharatra or the Pancharatriki Vidhi. A devotee follows the principles of Pancharatriki Vidhi as well as Bhagavata Vidhi. Bhagavata Vidhi includes preaching work, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, the hearing and chanting of the glories of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Krishna, of Godhead. The Pancharatriki Vidhi includes Archan Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. Because a devotee rigidly follows the instructions of Narada Muni, he has no fear of old age, disease or death. Apparently, a devotee may grow old, but he is not subjected to the symptoms of defeat experienced by a common man in old age. Consequently, old age does not make a devotee fearful of death, as a common man is fearful of death. When jara, or old age, takes shelter of a devotee, kalakanya diminishes the devotee's fear. A devotee knows that after death, he is going back to home, back to Godhead. Therefore, he has no fear of death. Thus, instead of depressing a devotee, advanced age helps him to become fearless and thus happy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So remember that when you start to creak. So, makam karochi vachalam phangam laite grim yad kripa tamaham bande shri gurun dinatarinam rishabham yavananam tvam brine virekshitam patim sankalpasya twai bhutanam krita kila narishyati. Approaching the king of the Yavanas, Kalakanya addressed him as a great hero, saying, "My dear sir, you are the best of the untouchables. I am in love with you, and I want you as my husband. I know that no one is baffled if he makes friends with you." So, sweet words indeed. So, Kalakanya, Kanya means young girl, virgin girl. Kalakanya means daughter of time. So also, as Prabhupada says here, another name for Kalakanya is jara. So, old age, jara, is another daughter of time, is the daughter of time. And of course the companion of jara is vyadi, disease, as we say. As Prabhupada often said, the problems of this world are not political or this or that. They are ultimately birth, death, old age and disease. And you can adjust political situation, you can adjust economic situation, but you're still going to have those things. Of course, as Prabhupada explains at the beginning of the purport, if you remember, he says, however, those things should not be neglected. Economic, social arrangement. And we've been discussing a lot about this, right? The relationship of husband and wife, society. The Vedic prescription gives full description how the individual and the collective individual society should act to be in harmony with material nature. We are not the masters of material nature. That is the impetus of the Rakshasa. At the beginning of the seventh canto, it is explained there that the Asura, not much pleasure, he is in the mode of passion. So he wants to enjoy the material nature. And as he is undisciplined, Malecha Yavana, not taking the advice of the Vedic prescriptions, he wants to dismiss God. He wants to put God on the side, make God irrelevant. Oh, there's no controller. There's no controller to restrain my enjoyment of material nature. I am the predominator. I am the Purusha of this inferior Prakriti. So, he becomes fearful of Supreme Lord in that way. And he becomes skeptical, he takes shelter of that, so that he doesn't have to worry about the reactions. In this allegory that Narada Muni is giving to Maharaj Parikshana Bharati, is explaining, in this section, it's coming to the final point. Oh, King Puranjan, he has been enjoying very nicely, but disregarding his spiritual elevation through sadhana, through following the ultimate aim of the Vedic prescription. Yes, the Vedas, they do organize the individual and society very nicely, and they give very good advice. But shravan hi eva kevalam. You're all devotees, you know. You may have a perfect society, of course. It'll never be perfect, for as we say, janma mrityu vyadi jara. But you should not think, as the utopianists do, that we will achieve utopia in this world. Plato, utopia. Jai ho! Sri Sri Gornitai Sri Guru Parampara Krishna Balaram Radhisham Sundar Lalit Vishaka Shalagram Maharaj Girigo Vidana Ki Jai. So, the material world is a foreign place. It is not the home of the living entity. So you should not try to be comfortable here. We should try to achieve transcendental life. And that is the ultimate aim of the Vedic prescriptions. Yes, organize your married life or your society very nicely according to the Vedas. Don't be a malecha and yavana by living outside the Vedic prescriptions. And within that peaceful format, you try to realize your relationship with the Supreme Lord. And how to do that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the 40th chapter of Jiva Dharma, he explains the krama, that everyone should chant Hare Krishna regularly. And the first thing you should do, you should chant, he advises, with ulasa. That means with joy in your heart. You should conjure up some joy and joyfully chant the holy name for the pleasure of Krishna in Seva Bhav. And then if you do that regularly, improving your chanting, then mamata, you should mix mamata. As you realize the sweetness of the holy name, mamata means possessive attachment. You should feel, oh, the holy name is mine. Huh? And joyfully, I have the greatest possession, the holy name. And then as you realize further, you should mix with that beverage of the holy name and the mood. You should mix Vishramba. That means faith, but a special developed form of faith. Of course, we enter devotional line with faith, but Vishramba means with intimate faith, realized faith. So if you chant with ulasa, joy, with possessive attachment, you will realize more and more Krishna, your relationship directly. And in that nectarine condition, you will develop bhava. You will develop, you will come out of sadhana bhakti up to bhava bhakti. So this is the prescription for Kali Yuga. That should be performed within the format of individual and societal peacefulness. But the Rakshasa, the Malecha and the Yavana, he doesn't want to do that. The Asura, in the mode of passion, wants to enjoy the material energy. The Rakshasa, in the mode of ignorance, this is a generic term, wants to conquer the material energy. Control the material energy. Like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, I want to dominate. The Asura wants to enjoy and dismiss God, irrelevant. Don't talk to me about God, I'm going down the pub. You know what a pub is? They don't know. You know, don't go. Anyway, so he wants to put that aside, but the Rakshasa is envious in the sense of hateful towards the Supreme Lord. He wants to dismiss. And in his illusion, as Ravana we saw, and Hiranyakashipu, these good example, they want to kill the Supreme Lord. They are so much in illusion that they think that it's a job, and I'll get the job next. Rather like you get a newer president every now and again, or prime minister. So, however, the devata, in the mode of goodness, by following Vedic prescriptions, he wants to harmonize. There are many Rakshasa philosophies. We should conquer the world in the name of God. No, the devata, the devotee knows, the realized soul, he knows that the Supreme Lord is Ishwara Parama. He's in control of every atom and molecule throughout the universe. What to speak of the quarks and the gluons? They're particles that they speculated down there. So there's no conquering to be done in the name of God. It is already perfectly under control. However, the Supreme Lord has given us sankalp, as it says here, determination, Prabhupada mentioned. So we can determine our path. We can become architects of our own destiny. So the Vedic prescription are to bring us to the mode of goodness. And from that mode of goodness, you can reach Turiya, transcendental consciousness, very easily. Just like if you want to take off in an aeroplane, you have to go to the airport. You cannot do it in the backyard. They don't arrive there. You have to go to the airport. It's a suitable condition for catching an aeroplane. So, the mode of goodness, where the consciousness is purified, harmonized, as the devatas, the demigods, are so, they have mystic power through the mode of goodness, through the mercy of Krishna. The asura wants to invent things to enjoy. The rakshasa wants to conquer material nature by genetic manipulation is the latest fashion, UFOs, machinery, but the only effect is destroying the environment. Instead of living in harmony with the environment, destroying the environment through this mechanical ugra karma. And this is what is spreading all over the world, right? You can't take bath in the river. You can hardly breathe the air in the cities. The food is polluted, genetically modified, giving cancer and all these things. And can go on forever. Whatever element you choose, earth, water, fire, air, ether, it's all becoming polluted. This is the Rakshasa mentality, that we're going to make a big spaceship and conquer the universe. Right? You hear this sometimes, right? Man is developing. We're going to genetically modify the genes and become superhuman, so we can climb the tree faster than the chimpanzee. But you're already perfect. Huh? Umpanamadapanamidam. You're already a perfect emanation, an angsa. You're non-different in quality from the Supreme Lord. Your path of perfection is not on the material platform. It is to awaken the soul. I was just reading last night. It was the 8th of August, 1969. To Rupa... Not Rupanuga. What's it? No, oh, not... Yeah, Rupanuga. And Rupanuga, you can look it up in the folio, it was very interesting. And Rupanuga had asked, what is the form of the spirit soul? How does it arise? Because everyone wants Swarup, right? We're stuck in this form, material form. What is my spiritual form? What is Swarup means own form, Rupa. Rupa also means constitutional nature. So Rupanuga had apparently written a letter to Prabhupada wherein he had asked, what is the form of the spirit soul? And Prabhupada was answering. And to paraphrase, Prabhupada said, the spiritual form is lying dormant within the soul. Just in the same way that within a seed, the tree is lying dormant. And Prabhupada says that the spiritual form grows through the process of sadhana. The consciousness expands, the real spiritual nature comes, and then the spiritual form manifests from the seed of the soul. So the soul is fully equipped. Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachid Ananda Vigraha. Vigraha means form. Krishna's form is none different from himself. It is not an assumed form. So the form of the living entity, of the jiva, this jiva is a chip off the block. He is a spark. Krishna is the fire. He has the same quality, but he is dormant in the material condition, covered by the three modes. But by sadhana, his spiritual nature manifests, and his form manifests. And just like a seed manifests in the springtime, similarly, when the conditions are right, the spiritual form manifests step by step from the soul. And that basic form, just like now it's winter, the farmers have thrown the seed in the ground, but they're not growing because of the cold condition. So what is the warm condition that makes the soul spring forth? It is as we say. In Kali Yuga, the holy name is the sunshine. But we must chant with joy as an offering in Seva Bhav. The soul is condemned to the material covering by this asuric attitude. I want to enjoy for myself, or I want to conquer. They're all reflections of the same perversion of consciousness. I want to be the Purusha. But when the soul chants, and Shravanam, also Prabhupada explained, if you remember, Bhagavat Marg, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. You know Navada Bhakti. So those first four, they are Bhagavat Marg. We should hear the philosophy, Stane Shrutikatam Tanuvam Manobir, whatever situation a person is, whether they are Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or even if they are Malecha and Yavana, they should hear the glories of the name, form, quality and pastimes of Krishna. And they should do that, as it says, as Lord Brahma says there in that 14th chapter of the 10th canto, after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, Stane Shruti Katang. You just stay in your situation and hear the Leela, the name of Krishna, and offer your obeisances. Namam Namaskuru. Offer in glorification, take that nectar in devotional mood, in Seva Bhav. And that is the sunshine that will awaken the soul, that will awaken the Swarup. So, Pancharatriki Marg, as Prabhupada said, is starting with Archanam. Archanam Vandanam, offering prayers. Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, you're all devotees, you all know. So this is done in a regulated fashion. Narada Pancharatriki, he has written all these rules and regulations. And it is compared, Prabhupada gave the comparison, as comes down the Sampradaya, that this is like a train, it goes on two rails, Bhagavat Marg and Pancharatriki Marg. Pancharatriki Marg, the worship of the deity under rules and regulations, is good because it regulates the life of devotion. Therefore, the temple is run in a regulated fashion, and as Prabhupada said in the purport, we collect funds, clean the temple, worship the deity, go to Mangalarti, offer prasad. This gives the regulation of life. But from within that format, as we say, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam, hearing and chanting, remembering Krishna, and Padasevanam, doing some service for Krishna, Madhyaji, sacrificing one's time, one's words, one's thoughts, one's income for Krishna, sacrifice, then this will awaken the soul. Otherwise, as Prabhupada said very pointedly, you will stay on the bodily platform. Malecha and Yavana, you will not have any Vedic realization, Vedic discipline. You will think, this material world, let's make the best of a bad bargain. Let's be utopian, put God aside, it's causing war. No, misunderstanding of religious path is causing war, not the true understanding. So Prabhupada is very clear, and he says also that Malecha and Yavana doesn't mean to say they're in a foreign country from India. But it is the quality of a person. That is the corruption of the Vedic message, that everything should be judged by the body. Oh, this person is a foreigner, therefore he's this. This person is born in this family, therefore he's this. This is the ignorance of the material platform. People identify with the body, and therefore they turn their religious system into a perversion by this vision. Religion is to do with the bodily platform. No, religion is to take us out of the bodily platform and to transcend the three modes of material nature, to come for transcendence, turiya. So also Prabhupada says that the devotee who is living in this style, he has no fear from Kaliakanya, from Jara. And Prabhupada said, you could almost hear Prabhupada speaking about himself, that a Vaishnav can work hard, well maybe not so hard as when he's 20, but at 75 or 80, Prabhupada was still vigorous. He wasn't subjected. Of course the body will dwindle, but Prabhupada was still vigorous in his desire to spread the nectar of Krishna consciousness. The materialist who spent his life, and this is the warning that is being given at this particular section in the Bhagavatam to Paranjan, the materialist, he becomes embittered as his senses diminish. He has spent a life of material indulgence, particularly mentioned here is sexual indulgence in this section, and it weakens his spirit. He becomes senile, he becomes very negative, sits on the park bench with only pigeons as his friends. And thinks of all the things he regretted not doing and all the things he regretted doing. Right? And he becomes all depressed, as Prabhupada said. So that's an unfortunate condition. So Krishna consciousness and Bhagavatam and the story of Paranjan is not just meant for Prichinabari, it's meant for everyone in Kali Yuga. Don't be a fool. Use your determination, your sankalp. What are you going to do with your life? Don't be passive. Don't let circumstances carry you along. If you do that, you'll end up... No, as they say, write your own script in life. Don't follow the script that's given to you, but become proactive. That is the devotee. Now in the modern so-called education, which is miseducation, people are drilled into obedience. Don't be virile, don't be positive. Just get in line and pay your taxes and then die. No. Devotee wants to break free. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And we do that in chanting in the association of sadhu. That will strengthen our sankalp, our determination. But these things are a warning, and this is important. Because nobody stays 15 forever, only Krishna. At least when you've got a material body, you should realize, yes, it's a temporary thing. One day, you'll wake up and you won't be alive. You'll be in your next body, or on the way. So, as Prabhupada finishes the purport, he says, the devotee is not fearful, because he knows I've dedicated my life to Krishna, to Guru, to Shastra. So he's not fearful. And Kaliakanya even is helpful to the devotee. Kaliakanya, this is allegorical. Time is helpful to devotee because Krishna protects the devotee. So the devotee realizes that I am under the shelter of Krishna. So let me do something in thanks to Krishna. And whatever happens, let that be Krishna's desire. So, be warned, as Prabhupada said, as is commonly known, that and this is the point, we've discussed this, time. Also, we've been discussing in this section, and I looked up on the internet some debates between one big atheist and some other theistic people. And they're debating, one of the debates was, does God exist? Huh? So I was there, I was watching, and I was thinking, I'll tell them. Because Krishna, yes, and nobody had a good argument. They were going back and forward, you know, like a bad tennis game with broken rackets. They didn't have, but because of Prabhupada's tuition, we all know, and Krishna says, Kalosmi aham, time I am. So what is God? Supreme controller, absolute, right? So time is absolute supreme controller, manifest in this material sphere. Huh? Everything animate and inanimate is controlled and dependent upon time. Right? So there's the manifestation of the Supreme Lord. It is Kala Shakti, also Kala Sarpa. It means the all-devouring mouth of time. Mrityu sarva harashchaham. Time I am, destroyer of worlds, Krishna says in the Gita. So, destroyer of worlds and destroyer of material bodies. So, let that be a warning. It will strengthen our sankalp, our determination towards spiritual realization. But ultimately, we want to develop attraction to Krishna, not repulsion from the material energy. But both are helpful. So, talking about attraction to the spiritual energy, we'll discuss now, today's the disappearance day of a great, great Vaishnav, Jayadev Goswami, who is especially famous. He wrote many songs and great bhajans. He's especially famous for Gita Govinda. Gita Govinda, Lord Chaitanya listened. He particularly liked to listen to Bhagavatam, Gadadha Pandit, and also in Puri he would listen to Gita Govinda and also Krishna Karanamrita. Gita Govinda was written by Jayadev Goswami, and we did a little research about his life. And it's very fascinating. So, his disappearance day is the sixth day of the waning moon on the month of Posh. That's today. So, Jayadev Goswami, he appeared in the 11th or 12th century. So, this is about 400-500 years before Lord Chaitanya. There is a different opinion about his place of birth, but the majority opinion holds that he hailed from the village of Kendubilva, presently in the district of Birbhum. Others, they claim he was in Orissa or South India. So that Kendubilva, which is the majority opinion, is 20 miles south of Suri on the banks of the Aja River. In the Gaudiya Vaishnav Abhidhana, it is stated that Jayadev found his Radha Madhav deities in this river's waters. There's a Radha Madhav temple at Keshigat, and it is very old. There's a big gap in in the Vimana, and that's where Jayadev Goswami performed a lot of his bhajan. We'll come to that. It is also stated that he used to rest and worship at the temple in that area of his birth of Lord Shiva, known as Kusheshwara, which is also on the banks of the Ajay River. Jayadev's father was named Bojadev and his mother Vamana Devi. Jayadev lived for a long time in Navadvip during the reign of the king of Bengal, Lakshman Sen, making his home not far from the king's palace. At that time, the king's chief scholar was Govardhanacharya. According to Asutosh Deb's Bengali dictionary, Dayadev was Lakshman Sen's court poet. Srila Bhaktivinoda writes in his Navadvip Dharmahatmya that Lakshman Sen was delighted when he heard Jayadev's hymn to the ten incarnations, the Dasavatar Stotra. We chant, you know, Tavatara Kamala. That is one of the things. That is the first song in the Gita Govinda. Second song is Srita Kamala Kucha Mandalahe. So, right. The king, Lakshman Sen, was delighted to hear this song. Govardhanacharya notified the king that it was Jayadev who had composed the hymn, and so the king wanted to meet Jayadev. So he went incognito to Jayadev's home. They can't do that nowadays because everyone hates the politicians. But in those days, the king would often move around the populace incognito to hear the mood of the people. Anyway, he went to see Jayadev, and when he saw him, he noticed that Jayadev possessed all the characteristics of a great and powerful spiritual personality. Deeply impressed and attracted to Jayadev, the king revealed his identity as king to Jayadev and invited him to come and live in the royal palace. Jayadev was leading a very renounced life and was therefore unwilling to live in the opulent environment of the palace. He told the king that he preferred to live in Jagannath Puri. Lakshman Sen was disappointed by Jayadev's intentions. He quickly suggested that he take up residence in the village of Champakhati, saying that this was a place suitable for a person who wanted to live a meditative life. He also promised him that he would never come to disturb him again. When Jayadev agreed, Lakshman Sen had a cottage built for him in the village that was formerly known as Champakhata, named after the beautiful garden of Champak trees and the village market where Mahaprabhu's associate Divya Bhaninath received a vision of him in the Satya Yuga. So this village was a holy place. Mahaprabhu had appeared there in Satya Yuga millions of years previously, seeing him in the form of a brahmana whose skin was the color of a champak flower. Similarly, Jayadev, this is very interesting, had a similar vision there, first of Radha Madhav, then they combined their form as the golden-colored, champak-colored Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Ki Jai! After the Lord gave Jayadev this vision, he told him to go to Jagannath Puri. Although Jayadev was sad to leave the future abode of the Lord, so this was still in Navadvip, he was still living, and he understood, oh, the Lord will come here in his golden form, but the Lord ordered him, go to Jagannath Puri. He obeyed the Lord's command and made his way to Puri, where it is said that he was engaged as the court poet of the king of Orissa. He spent the remainder of his life in the abode of Lord Jagannath, where he wrote the transcendental poem based on the sentiment of love in separation, because Mahaprabhu taught Vipralamba Seva Bhav, worship in separation, and that poem elucidating this bhava is the Gita Govinda. It composed of 24 or 25 songs. It's also called the Astapadi. Mahaprabhu told Jayadev, while giving him the vision in Navadvip, that after appearing there, he would take sannyas and go to Jagannath Puri, where he would relish the Gita Govinda. So Mahaprabhu told him, and this, you understand, is the 11th or 12th century, 500 years. So Mahaprabhu was arranging for the Gita Govinda to be written so that he could relish the mood of Srimati Radharani's separation to Krishna while in Puri. Further information about the life of Jayadev is found in the preface of the Calcutta Basuri Sahita Mandir edition of Gita Govinda. Sometime prior to the Muslim conquest of Delhi, King Manika Chandra ordered the writing of the book of the Alankara Sikhara, in which Jayadev is mentioned as the court poet of the King of Orissa. Sridhar Das, the son of one of the chief courtiers of Lakshman Sen, included many of Jayadev's verses in his anthology, Sat Uti Karana, citing a work named Abhiyabhakavya. The Kulapan to the one ancient manuscript of the Gita Govinda states, Jayadev had a great reputation as a poet during the time of Lakshman Sen. Now here comes a very interesting point. As you know, Jayadev was extremely renounced. Just living in the cottage, he didn't want to live in the thing. But then, according to legend, Jagannath himself, this was when he was in Puri, we can understand, ordered Jayadev to marry his wife, Padmavati. The story is told in the Vishvakosh as follows. There once was a Brahman who was without offspring in Puri, having worshipped Jagannath for many years in the hope of having a son. Finally, he and his wife had a daughter, and they named her Padmavati. When she came of marriageable age, the Brahman brought her to Lord Jagannath to offer her to his lotus feet, to Jagannath's lotus feet. He was obviously a great devotee. When he saw them, Jagannath said to the Brahman, I have a servant whose name is Jayadev. He has given up family life and has dedicated himself to chanting my names. Give your daughter to him in marriage. So, the Brahman took his daughter to Jayadev and asked him to marry his daughter. However, since Jayadev had no desire to get married, he refused to agree to any such arrangement. The Brahman then told him that it was Jagannath himself who had arranged the marriage. Jagannath told me, married the daughter. And then without another word, he left, leaving his daughter behind. So you can imagine the poor girl. What's going on? Jayadev found himself totally unprepared for this situation and told the girl, tell me where you want to go and I will take you and leave you there. You cannot stay here. Padmavati, just like this is the weapon of a woman, started to cry. Of course, this is transcendental lila, it's not mundane. And said, my father brought me here to marry you on Jagannath Dev's order. You are my husband, my all in all. If you do not accept me, then I will fall down at your feet and die right here. You are my only hope, my lord. The poet and scholar Jayadev could not abandon her after such a heartfelt plea, so he became a householder. So this is a very important point, because acharyas, I have read that Krishna arranged that Jayadev, because he was going to write the loving affairs of Radha in separation from Krishna, that he wanted Jayadev to have this wonderful, very pure lady as his consort, so that he could write the Gita Govinda, with realization of the relationship between man and woman. As Jayadev had previously been a brahmachari, sannyas mentality, so now, in the association of Padmavati, he drew inspiration from her femininity and was able to write the Gita Govinda with full rasa. And this, of course, would be relished later by Lord Chaitanya when he was in the mood of Sri Radha to Krishna. So it's very wonderful. Then Jayadev goes to Vrindavan. Later, Jayadev took his deities, Radha Madhava, with him and set off for the long journey. Once in Vrindavan, he set off for Vrindavan. He began to serve his deities in an area near Keshigat. You can still find his temple there. When the residents of the Dham heard Jayadev, because he had a very beautiful voice, sing the Gita Govinda, he composed all the melodies also, and the ragas, and it's written in the Gita Govinda what raga should be used, what rhythm should be used for each song. When the residents of Dham, Vrindavan, here we are, heard Jayadev sing the Gita Govinda in his sweet voice, they were entranced. One merchant built a large temple for the deities on that site. And if you want to find that temple, as you come down the Parikram path, and you know there's the Keshigat complex, well, it's just right at the beginning on your right-hand side, a little bit up above the Parikram path. I know the people that live there. So they're very nice, actually, very nice. So the merchant built a large temple. It is said that Jayadev returned to his birthplace in Ketubilva after living in Vrindavan for many, many years. He spent the rest of his life there worshipping his deities and performing his bhajan. He would take the long walk to the Ganga every day to take his bath there. One day, for some reason or another, he was unable to make the journey to the Ganga. Ganga Devi was so kind to him that she came personally to the village to visit Jayadev. This is the legend. So that he would bathe in her holy waters. It is said that Jayadev died in Ketubilva, and every year on the first day of the month of Magh, which is quite soon, a large festival is held there in his memory. Even now, this is, we're talking 800, 900 years later. There is, however, a difference of opinion about where Jayadev finished his life. Though some say he returned to Ketubilva, others claim it was Puri, and still others say he went and stayed in Vrindavan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur has stated his opinion that Jayadev left this world from Jagannath Puri. Though some people say that Jayadev returned to Ketubilva to spend his last days, there is no indication anywhere that he brought his Radha Madhav deities with him. In fact, those Radha Madhav deities, these deities were taken by the king of Jaipur to a place named Guti sometime after Jayadev's passing away, and they are still being served in the Jaipur area. So his deities there, you can search them out, they're in Guti, somewhere in Jaipur. So Srila Jayadev Goswami ki jai. So it's very inspiring to read such nectar, the pastimes of the great devotees, and to understand how Lord Chaitanya enlisted Jayadev Goswami, such a great poet and musician and singer, to create the Gita Govinda. And he relished that book, and that enhanced his separation, his appreciation of Srimati Radharani's mood towards himself. So Lord Chaitanya taught service in Vipra Lamba Bhav. That means that we don't think we have attained Krishna, that Krishna is distant. Yes, Vipralamba Sambhog. Sambhog is there. But particularly from the sadhanas, the sadhakas rather, we want to understand that I haven't attained Krishna consciousness. This is the special thing. Even the Goswamis taught this. Hey Rad, hey Brajadevake, hey Nandasu no Kato. Where are you? They're the six Goswamis. They're the Manjaris. And they are writing, Srinivasacharya is describing their activity in Vrindavan. They're searching for Krishna. If we think we have attained Krishna consciousness, just because we can put on some tilak, that will lessen our endeavor. We should think, I have a long way to go to find Krishna. This is taught by Lord Chaitanya. What is that verse? Nainam gladas rudharaya varanam rudaya gira. But before that is ayinanda tanuja kinkara. We should understand that all our devotional practice, whether it is Bhagavad Marg, Pancharatriki Marg, should be done as a service. Kinkara, I'm your kinkara, I'm your service. And if we want Swarup, as these great devotees have attained, we have to awaken the soul with Seva Bhav in all our actions. We chant, the Kirtan boys, they're chanting very wonderfully for the pleasure of the deities. We serve the deities for the pleasure of the deities. We clean the temple for the pleasure of the deities under the order of the Guru. Yasya Prashada Bhagavat. So if we follow the order of Guru in a service mood, with joy, then the soul will, the seed of our spiritual nature will awaken very promptly. And Prabhupada has promised us that if we apply ourselves in one lifetime, we can attain Krishna consciousness. We can attain the association of Jayadev Goswami. So, Srila Prabhupada Sadhu Sangha Srimad Bhagavatam Sri Jayadev Goswami Ki Jai. Any, okay. Yes, take Mahaprasad. Jai Radhe, Jai Govinda.